Hello, this is Aaron Kupferberg for Power Popaholic, and today we're interviewing Tim Norwind from the band OK Go. How are you doing today, Tim?
I'm great, thank you.
All right, cool. As far as I know, you guys are like the vanguard of, you know, what I would consider a mainstream power pop band, and unlike the previous 3 years touring, can you tell me how, if you embrace that label, or is it something you go to lengths to avoid?
It's something we don't think about that much, to be honest with you. I've read that about us before, and I didn't really know what power pop was. I mean, I listened to what I think people refer to as power pop bands growing up, and I didn't realize that people called them power pop. I don't think we really. It's weird. I don't think we go through lengths to avoid being called that, but you know, I don't think it's sort of neither here nor there for us. It's people are going to call us what they're going to call us.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
I was going to ask how you felt about how the band has evolved over the years. Is it like a natural evolution, you think, of the guys all being together? Or is it like a conscious effort, like, okay, we've done this, we've done the treadmills, we're not going to try and sound like this on the next album?
It's interesting. When we first started as a band, I think before we started as a band, there was sort of this thought that like guitars were dead, and it was all about like rhythm and groove sort of. And I remember getting out of college, we were somewhere between thinking that and kind of wishing we were back with our guitars again. So like in the beginning, we kind of made music that was somewhere between, you know, something rhythmic and something rock and roll. And our first album was very much like, you know, was like a big sort of like studio experiment, and we were making these like sort of like gigantic sounding pop rock songs, more or less. You know,
right.
at the time, what was big on radio was kind of like. Was like rap metal and music that took itself really seriously, and we wanted to make something that, you know, was more about like the fun, you know. And so we kind of made this like super sort of like Candylicious pop record in the middle of all this kind of like rap metal and whatnot. I think when it came time to make our second record, we had sort of gotten away from needing to sound, you know, like we were having a super sort of like fun time, and also we wanted to sound more like a live band, because after our first record, we then went and toured for 2 years and sort of. Kind of got our live act together,
right.
More so than it had ever been before. So, I remember when we made our second record, it was like right as you know, Bush was getting elected for the second time, and we all sort of felt like, man, we are on a sinking ship. but we still wanted like it was like instead of the songs needing to be fun, we felt like they needed to like. We just sort of felt like we were kind of living in this like crazy, like we were having a party on a sinking ship type feeling, you know?
Right.
And so the goal was to kind of like write songs about that, and also at the same time kind of get us sounding as live as possible. And so that whole second record, we sort of made this like. Almost very little of it is overdubbed, and almost, you know, pretty much all the performances are the four of us live in the studio playing together.
Cool.
So everything's mic'd in one studio, so there's a lot of bleed in the microphones. You can hear like the drums and the bass mic, and yeah, you can hear the guitar
nice.
Are in the drum mic.
Yeah, I was going to, that just sort of leads me to your new album, Of the Blue Color of the Sky. You know, when you recorded this album in January and March, you know, in a little snow-covered cabin, I've seen videos. Did that affect the recording process in any way as compared to your last albums?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I mean, we didn't know that it would. I mean, it's not why we specifically went there, but I mean, it's funny how the mood of winter really matched what was kind of like going on in our lives, anyways. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to imagine what would have happened if we had made this record in the spring or summer or something like that, because you know, after our second record, which we toured for. We toured on for 2.5 years. We all kind of came back pretty like road weary, and you know, a lot of people's personal lives were sort of like just more or less destroyed, and and you know, and we started writing for this next record, and so the, you know, this record feels the most sort of like this sounds most sort of like we're here to testify, or it's like, you know, this is sort of like the most sort of personal record I feel like we've ever made, and the mood of winter kind of matches kind of like the mood of
where you were, I think.
Of where we were sort of like emotionally and personally and stuff like that. You know, a lot of the songs are sort of like about trying to have hope in the face of a situation that seems pretty hopeless, you know, and like...
I get a little bit of that vibe. I heard so far only two songs... WFT and Skyscrapers. You know, Skyscrapers has kind of like this, you know, Lenny Kravitz Prince groove to it in the background.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
Did it just sort of come out that way when you were sort of doing it?
Well, no, we were very much, we listened to a lot of Prince while making this record, and there definitely was sort of a conscious effort to kind of, you know, ask what would Prince do in pretty much every situation we came across. So, you know, there's, like, we wanted to make this a groovier record, and we were sort of, like, channeling sort of, like, things from like, early childhood this time, you know, music that we listened to, sort of like the first round of things we listened to growing up versus, I think our first two records were a little bit more referencing, like, things we listened to in high school and in college, and it was, like, a little bit more about, like, the punk rock we listen to and the rock music that we listen to. And this record, I think we sort of felt like, you know, we'd more or less exercised all of our guitar demons, and we kind of wanted to look more at, like, earlier things like Prince and, you know, Michael Jackson and, you know, sort of like things like that that we, you know, sort of first caught our attention as kids. So, yeah, you know, those sort of, like, Prince-y elements and stuff like that is definitely like a conscious effort. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, on the new single, WTF, I mean, I kind of appreciated the video. He kind of has this nice little Marcel Duchamp surreal effect with the video that you did. So it's definitely different from, you know, the past. I think I've heard enough stories of how you got your bruises on those treadmills. You ever going to return to those treadmills?
Are we ever going to return to them? I highly doubt it. No. I mean, you know, the thing is that, like, we've always, you know, from the start of time, I mean, we've always been doing things like the treadmills or like the backyard dance or like, you know, I mean, if you look at the history of the first album, we were doing things in the spirit of that then too, you know, and we, you know, I think we're all very proud of the treadmill video, and it certainly did a lot more than anyone ever expected it would. But the real honest answer to all that is just, like, you know, we've got a million more ideas that we're pretty excited to get to, and you know, I think some of them are going to be just as exciting, and some of them are going to be appealing in different ways, and you know, but you know, I think we've got a lot of ideas that we're pretty psyched to get to. I mean, I think the WTF video is pretty awesome and was really fun to make, and is certainly in the spirit of the stuff, you know, we did on the last record video wise. So, you know, it's still one take, and
it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I mean, another question I was going to ask was, since, you know, you went through a long period of touring and you played with a lot of different bands, hung out with a lot of different bands, is there any of them that you hung out with or played with that influenced you in any way as you, you know, finally got off the road?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. There definitely were a couple of bands that, if for nothing else, their spirit sort of influenced us, but also their music. There's a band called Apollo Sunshine that we did a lot of touring with on our second record. They're like insanely awesome musicians, and we really looked for, you know, when we toured with them, it was like a real sort of like added bonus that we got to just watch them every night, you know, and we got pretty obsessed with their record and stuff like that. And so, cool. They have this kind of like, a lot of their songs have this sort of like, there's sort of two feels on our record, which is sort of like this Prince feel, and then there's a sort of like on the porch kind of acoustic, like nasty acoustic jingle kind of feel too, and definitely Apollo Sunshine influenced us on this sort of like on the porch acoustic feel. It's just sort of, they write these just like nasty, awesome, like, you know, acoustic jams, you know, that we definitely referenced a lot when making this record as well.
Cool. You know, I was going to always ask you, because I've seen it in almost every video, you got some kind of pink or bright color on you. Do you pick up your own stuff, or do you have, like, somebody who does the video basically picks your clothes for you for that?
We worked with a designer on the WTF video, this woman named Jasmine Shokrian, who we sort of collaborated with, and I think, you know, we ended up sort of having similar feelings and ideas about color palettes and things like that, you know. In general, though, we are fairly picky about what we put on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
actually, and so it's like, even when we are sort of like working with friends who are, you know, and stuff like that, we still sort of have final say over all that stuff, because you know, at the end of the day, I think we all sort of feel like if we're not comfortable in what we're wearing, then it's just like there's definitely something wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for the most part, I'll say this, we're definitely in control of what it is we're wearing, you know, and sometimes we just don't have the time, you know, when things get really busy, we just don't have the time to do the shopping. So we're lucky enough to have friends who are stylists and stuff like that who will sometimes help us and, like, you know, go get stuff for us to take a look at. But at the end of the day, it's like we won't just wear whatever's on the rack. I mean, we have to sort of feel good in it.
Sure.
So there's a lot of, if nothing else, collaboration.
Very good.
What we wear, yeah.
I mean, another question I was going to get to was, you know, since you've also been, like I mentioned before, touring quite a bit, what was your most embarrassing moment on tour, if you could share that?
I'm trying to think of
nobody fell off the stage or anything, I don't think.
No one's ever fallen off the stage. I don't necessarily consider this an embarrassing moment, but I guess if I was sitting watching it with my dad, then maybe I'd get a little bit embarrassed. But I mean, we toured with Snow Patrol and the Silver Sun Pickups for about 6 weeks, and on the last night we were all sort of doing sort of like high concept pranks on one another, and when we play, we generally have a big screen in back of us, and we have cameras on stage, so you know that like the image of us on stage sometimes gets projected onto the screen. So we had rigged our cameras one night while the Silver Sun Pickups were playing. We had rigged our cameras backstage, and I did sort of a, I guess more or less a striptease. I was projected onto the big screen behind them that they didn't know what was happening behind them.
Oh, so they totally freaked out.
And so I got dressed up in sort of like an Elvis Presley jumpsuit that Snow Patrol was carrying around with them, and underneath that I had these silver, like these just nasty silver stretch American Apparel shorts on that for some reason Snow Patrol also bought for me. And so I basically like stripped out of the Elvis Presley jumpsuit into the silver stretch shorts. By the the end of the song and had like poured like Dorito chips and all over myself, and it did this kind of like ridiculous and disgusting striptease in back of them. And so I feel pretty proud of that, but like I said, I think I, you know, clips of it exist on YouTube, and I think if I was forced to sit down and watch that with my dad, I might feel a little embarrassed about that.
All right, no problem. I wanted to also ask is, are you going to be doing Saturday Night Live this year? I think that's one of those things that was on your wish list from another interview.
Yeah, it's definitely still on my wish list. I mean, it's for me personally, it's like my favorite show on earth, and it has been since I was like 9, you know? I sort of started watching when like Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy were on, basically. I videotaped every single episode growing up.
Oh boy, Lauren will be really happy to hear that one.
Yeah, and so like it's definitely. I mean, I think growing up, I thought that I would actually be a member, you know, like a cast member on SNL, and you know, I think if the band got to play, I could settle for that.
Oh, great. Well, let me just sort of wrap things up a little bit here. Also, since you've done all this work and now you have this new album coming out, where are you going to be touring in the new year, 2010? Is that going to start taking off?
Yeah, we actually just did 2 weeks in the Northeast and Midwest and like in sort of like small clubs, just kind of like working out the kinks for the new stuff. So we've done a little bit of pre-touring, but the major touring starts in January. We'll be in the UK and some of Europe for most of January. And we're going to come back in February and shoot another video.
Very cool. Very cool.
Right in the beginning, and then we'll do the United. We're going to do the entire United States like February, March, April.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Tim Norwind of OK Go. I really appreciate the time you spent with me talking about the new album and everything. Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.